You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton. Our next TEDx Fargo speaker is Dave Power. He started his professional career as an engineer with an MBA and went on to work in high tech and then as a venture capitalist. His new passion is a major departure. He's the president and CEO of a 200-year-old nonprofit, the Perkins School for the Blind.
Did anybody see this article last week? Netflix stopped growing, at least for a quarter. Stock price tanked. They blamed their programming for it. Personally, I think they need to get season 4 of Fargo out. The problem of Netflix is a problem we all have, which is, how do we make sure we are growing and staying relevant? To achieve our goals and realize our full potential, we need to keep growing and make sure we're relevant. So I want to talk about whether you're responsible for a product or a service, whether you're running a profitable company or a nonprofit, whether you're running a sports franchise. It's relevant to think about how we make sure we stay relevant and keep growing. And so my talk today is about why we stop growing and what to do about it. So to help you kind of think about this, I've been thinking about this for 10 or 15 years, I want to just give you a really simple model. Here's a graph, time, and the y-axis is impact. So when you think impact, think sales, profits, fans for my sports team, think fish saved. Anything that you're trying to do is your impact, and you're trying to make that go up over time. And when we take on an initiative as leaders to do something, or creative people to do that, we have this sort of takeoff period. We get an idea, then we get traction, and then what we're planning on is something that looks like this: unlimited growth, rocket ship to the moon. This thing is going to grow forever. Unfortunately, the reality is it's the S-curve. It's the tyranny of the S-curve is what I call it. You can't escape it. It's as predictable as death and taxes. The other thing is you can't really know where your business or your initiative or your entertainment career is on this S-curve. So at any point, you could sort of mature. I want to sort of talk about how to get out of this. You know, there's many reasons for this shape. Here's sort of the simple truth about this that I want to pass on to you. If you keep doing what you're doing while the world changes around you, you'll become irrelevant. That's sort of the shortest version I can tell you about this, and we'll come back to this. I'm hoping what I have to say will have an impact on everybody here. Let's just look at some examples. Sears was the largest department store, first mail order house. They're out of touch. The department store model is out of touch with what consumers want. Consumers want specialty brands in stock, same-day delivery, easy returns. Department stores don't deliver that. The investors that are trying to revive Sears, forget about it. There's no department store model left for us. Who wants Sears jeans? I don't know if any of you know that before we used smartphones to take pictures, there was something called a camera. I owned one. I'm of that era. And we used film. It was a kind of chemistry-based technology from a company called Kodak. And Kodak kind of crashed and burned with the move to digital technology. But what's interesting is Kodak had in 1975 a prototype of the digital camera. They kind of knew this was coming, but they just couldn't get out of their way to sort of move on to the next thing. And what's interesting about this is that all the Kodak executives had studied chemistry in college. So, you know, people are sometimes the reason you can't move on to the next thing. Mature organizations, to me, they're everywhere we look. These are just examples of organizations. They're around, but they're flat. They're kind of doing the same thing, not growing. U.S. Post Office, United Way method of philanthropy, traditional schools for the blind, we'll talk about that. There's a new model. Labor unions, local newspapers. I just think they're all out of touch with the changing needs of those that they serve, and that's why they're flat. So what are we going to do about this? What's the answer to this? The answer looks like find the next S-curve. So what is that next S-curve? It's another problem that you can solve, probably for your own customers, that gives you a way to add value and grow while your traditional sort of initiative is maturing. And you know, the new thing offsets the growth of the old thing. If you do this well, you're a series of S-curves, and that's how you sustain continuous growth. So that's sort of an abstract picture, but this is kind of the answer. Let me give you a couple of simple examples of how this might look. So Apple Computer, they used to call themselves Apple Computer because they sold computers for 25 years. And if they only sold computers, they'd be a good company. but not the biggest company in the world, because that's sort of a mature line of business. So along the way, Apple said, what else can we solve for our Apple customer base, a problem that can be the basis for a next S-curve? And the first sort of out of the box for them was the iPod. And the iPod was an incredible phenomenon because it doubled the size of Apple from 10 billion to 20 billion in 4 years. No one had ever done that before. But what's most interesting is right after that, the iPod stopped growing forever. That was it. So they needed something else, so they did the iPad. And that grew for a little while, but that's kind of flat. So now they're riding the iPhone curve. And all I can say is, it's not going to last forever. They're going to need something else. Amazon, we know them as e-commerce. E-commerce is one-third of what Amazon did. They started with books and e-commerce. If all they did, they'd be one-third of the company they are today. They figured out a lot of their retailers needed help with all this storage of information in the cloud, so they created a service for them, and it turned out they became the market leader in cloud computing, bigger than everybody else in the tech industry. Then they have so many users, they decided, why not get into the advertising business? So this is what the Amazon model looks like, one-third, one-third, one-third. And I guarantee you, Jeff Bezos wakes up every day thinking, when are one of these curves going to tip down, and what's my next S-curve? That's how you have to think as a leader. You have to be paranoid about the end of your current S-curve and what's the next one coming. This is a very broadly applicable problem. So the broadest possible application is sort of civilizations and economies. For tens of millions of years, we hunted and gathered. Then someone figured out how to farm, and we had like a couple hundred thousand years of improved standard of living by learning how to farm. 150 years ago, we figured out how to use machines and trains to create an industrial economy. Now we're all living in the digital economy, and that may seem obvious, but it's an important question to ask, what's next? Whether you're running a country, whether you're running a state, any economy is what's the next thing, even as we're riding success in the thing that's right in front of us. This concept also applies to careers. So I put mine on here. I started as a civil engineer, and after 2 years, I was like, I want to do something more. So I got into consulting. That gave me a little more room, a little more personal growth. Then I got into the software industry for a while, and I enjoyed that greatly. Became an investor. That was a different way to be in the software industry. And, you know, for me, those are sort of reinvention points. Think Elon Musk and Lady Gaga. Think of people who continually reinvent their career and grow over and over again. Now, for me, at this point, I pivoted. And I decided, because my oldest son was born blind, and I needed a program for, he's now 32, and I became involved with the Perkins School for the Blind, the first school for the blind in the United States. First as a parent, then as a board member, then I was on the search committee for the next president, and guess what happened? 5 years ago, I raised my hand and said, maybe I should try doing this. And I want to tell you very briefly what I've done, because my message to you is everything I've just talked about from my private sector background and S-curves has been completely applicable to running a nonprofit, and this is what I've done at Perkins. Perkins is 190 years, first school for the blind 190 years ago, and it started as a campus-based school for the blind. That was the old model for schools, like a private school. We can handle 200 kids on our campus, and if that's all we did, we'd be a 200-kid line from 1829 to today. Really, what's going on today is we have now inclusive education in the United States, which means kids should be in public school if they can. 95% of kids that are blind or visually impaired are in public schools. So what we're doing is we're taking our model out to public schools. We have itinerant teachers. We do teacher training. We have executive training for special ed directors. We're growing into the public school system. That is a big S-curve that we're growing into. That's just one piece. Some smart people back in 1840, at a time when people thought anyone deafblind could never become literate, the leader of Perkins at the time said, I don't believe that. He found a woman named Laura Bridgman who became literate in 1840 and 50. And that became the beginning of deafblind education. 50 years later, Annie Sullivan, a graduate of Perkins, learned that, went to Alabama to teach Helen Keller, and the rest of the history you know, and we continue deafblindness education, not only across the U.S., but also internationally, where there's 10 million children who are visually impaired with an additional disability like deafblindness, who don't go to school because these economies don't know what to do with them. So the mission of Perkins International for, believe it or not, 100 years has been working in developing countries. We've reached 70 countries to date trying to get these kids into school, the most vulnerable population. That is one very big S-curve, and we have a long way to go. We also recently took on another problem, which is that Young adults who go to college who are blind or visually impaired generally don't finish. Only 40% do. So we launched last year and graduated our first class from a college gap year program for kids who are blind nationally to prepare them for college, and we hope that can be a national model. And in September, we're launching a job training program because unemployment for the blind runs at 70%, and we think maybe we can do something by training young adults to get their first job in some kind of a customer service role. So you can see I'm very energized. It's S-curves everywhere I look. I'm growing Perkins as fast and big as I can. I think that for you, I just ask you, where do you believe you are on your S-curve, and what's your next S-curve? I wrote a book called The Curve Ahead, if you want to read more about this. Thank you so much for inviting me to Fargo.
That was Dave Power, the CEO and president of the Perkins School for the Blind. He was one of the featured speakers at last month's TEDx Fargo. You can discover more of the event at TEDxFargo.com.